Well, drive down any one of the neighborhoods where there are lots of children and you are bound to run into maybe some pretty scary decorations that are on people's lawns. And it seems like more and more we're seeing those, and some of them can be quite disturbing. In his new book, All Hallows Eve, a picture book by Anthony DiStefano, he aims to help children understand the true spiritual meaning behind Halloween, All Saints Day, and All Souls Day. Anthony is joining me today to tell us more about his book, and let's talk about the spooky season. Good morning, Anthony.
Good morning. So nice to be here with you, Brenda.
Anthony, before we talk about your book, we recently had a discussion on The Morning Blend and thoughts on these adult spooky movies. Look, I can barely stand to watch some of these previews, and the church really has a not a decisive decision, but he is leaving that up to the spiritual discernment of each individual. How do you fall on the spooky movie decision, whether I enjoy them this time of year or no thank you?
Well, you just use the key word, discernment. You know, I mean, first of all, we have to understand that we're Catholics, so we don't check our brains at the door. You know what I mean? Not everything that's spooky is sinful. Well, there is a natural human desire to be scared. That's why roller coasters are so popular, and that's why there are so many horror movies. You know, those kinds of rides and movies, they give us thrills. They're exhilarating. They lift us out of sometimes our mundane lives or the problems that we're dealing with, and they make us feel alive in a certain way. So we're naturally attracted to that because we can experience those thrills while in the safety of our own living room or strapped into a roller coaster seat. So you're safe, but at the same time, you're getting those vicarious thrills. There's nothing existentially wrong with that at all. But what the devil does, of course, is he sees that normal human inclination, and he swoops in and tries to distort it and twist it, like he does with every human inclination, even especially in the area of human sexuality. The devil always comes in and tries to twist it and make it focused on something unhealthy spiritually, evil. And that's where we run into the problems. That's where Halloween, that's where horror movies go off track, when there's an unhealthy fascination with evil for the sake of evil. And I'll say that the church has always been very clear about certain things. Look, we never conjure the dead. We don't play with Ouija boards. We don't dabble in witchcraft or the occult. We don't go to fortune tellers. We don't take astrology seriously, you know, which claims that our fate is controlled by the stars. Those things are spiritually dangerous because they open the door for the demonic. They deny the truth of free will, and the catechism condemns them outright. But at the same time, as I just said, Catholics don't check their brains at the door. We recognize that something can have a superstitious feel to it or a veneer and not be taken seriously. Fortune cookies, for instance. We know they're a lighthearted joke. Nobody thinks a cookie can control your destiny.
Sure.
So the church teaches us to use discernment. Don't invite evil, but don't overreact to harmless play. So when it comes to Halloween, when it comes to these movies, there's no rule about, you know, you can't go trick-or-treating. There's no rule. We use it up to our discernment. What matters is the intention behind the practice. If it's playful and innocent, it can be part of a tradition. If it crosses the line into glorifying evil or trying to manipulate the spiritual world, then we avoid it. So it's about balance, rejecting what's harmful, but not being afraid of having a little fun.
And that little bit of fun is what many parents are going to embark as Halloween is very, very near. Kids are going to want to be going trick-or-treating. But at the same time, we as parents want to lead them in the right direction, let them enjoy a little bit of the evening, getting out into the neighborhoods, but definitely taking that cue with some of these homes and the way they're decorated definitely leads to a more satanic imagery that none of us want to be a part of. In an attempt to help families, help our children understand this actually very beautiful and sacred holiday, you've got a new book, All Hallows Eve, is out. Now, why did you take on this secular and religious holiday in your new book?
Yes, because it's been hijacked by the secular culture. I mean, you know, it's a, this year they're projecting Halloween to be a $13.1 billion expense. That's with all the candy, with all the costumes, with all the decorations. I mean, people are turning their, you know, their backyards into graveyards, into
yes.
cemeteries. Their houses are full of cobwebs. And it's after Christmas, it's the biggest holiday. So the secular culture has made us obsessed with all of these ghosts and goblins, and in many cases an unhealthy fascination with evil. But Halloween actually comes from the great Catholic feast of All Hallows' Eve. Same name. It means the same thing as Halloween, and that's the vigil of All Saints' Day. And for centuries, you know, Christians have seen this as a holy time to remember the saints in heaven, to pray for the souls of purgatory on All Souls' Day. And unfortunately, many people have forgotten that. And some people think that Halloween is anti-Christian, and that's not the case. It's our holiday. So, yes, by writing this story, I wanted to try to do my part to reclaim Halloween for what it truly is, a deeply spiritual holiday centered on prayer, penance, and remembrance of the dead. And I wanted to give children, you know, an engaging way to celebrate Halloween in line with their faith, however, without losing the fun, the mystery, and even the scary, spooky excitement that everyone seems to naturally love about the season.
That's the part that this one kind of brings forward in your children's books, is that it does have a little bit of that kind of thrilling, engaging part of this, because I want to know more about your character, Holga May.
Sure. Well, this story is told through the eyes of a young girl who, along with her friends, sneak into a cemetery one Halloween night to have some fun. You know, they're just looking for some spooky thrills. But instead, they encounter this mysterious old woman named Holga May, as you said, and there is a significance to that name, which we could discuss. But she tells the kids to be more respectful to the dead. You know, she reprimands them a little bit. They're fooling around the tombstones. And what she does is she tells them a story. An eerie story about a naughty little girl who grew up near the cemetery, and this little girl grew up to be a very selfish, self-centered woman who seemed to be bound for hell. But at the end of her life, she repented before she died. And so through this tale that she tells the children, the kids learn about the reality of purgatory and the need to pray for the dead and the true meaning of Halloween. So yes, this children's book, it tries to blend suspense and surprise, a surprise ending, and a little bit of scariness with a strong spiritual message. I've told people that my influences were mainly for this book were Shakespeare and Scooby-Doo.
Oh, yes.
Shakespeare, because in the Hamlet, the famous play, there's a ghost from Purgatory, Hamlet's father. And that, when I first read that, I think in high school or something, it always, you know, was very eerie to me, the idea of this ghost from purgatory returning to speak to his son. And then Scooby-Doo, if some of your older listeners may remember, was a TV cartoon in which this group of friends was always, they were wannabe sleuths who were always getting into trouble and some, finding themselves in some cemetery exposing some crime. And so I thought, gee, if I could put together that kind of eeriness with a little bit of playfulness, along with the true Catholic message about the communion of saints, then if I could put all that together in one little story, then that might be a very engaging way to teach about the true meaning of Halloween.
Oh, I remember well those cartoons and those meddling kids and their dog, too.
Yes.
Those were always fun ones to enjoy. Anthony DiStefano joining us today. His new book is All Hallows' Eve. It is available through Sophia Institute Press. Anthony, this has been a great conversation. There's more I want to know about, and especially about some of the ways that you introduce our Catholic terms to children. I am up against my break. Can you stay with me through the break?
Yes, of course.
And I'm back with author Anthony DiStefano. We are leading into this spooky week, culminating with Halloween on Friday. And he's joining us to introduce us to his new book, All Hallows' Eve. It's a great way for you to introduce the real meaning of Halloween to children. Anthony, thank you so much for staying with me.
Oh, always. Thank you.
Anthony, this is a great book because you dive into these subjects and we talk about heaven and hell. And I think for children, I even think of raising my own children, those things they can understand. But then there is this term, and you talk about it in our first half hour, and I want to ask you about purgatory. How do you explain purgatory to children when it can kind of be a hard thing for adults to understand?
Right. Well, exactly. Well, adults have to understand it first before they can explain it to children. And it is one of the most misunderstood teachings of the Catholic Church. It's not a second chance after death, and it's certainly not hell. Purgatory is a temporary state of purification for souls who have already been saved, for those who have died in God's grace, who still need cleansing before entering heaven. You know, the Bible says in the book of Revelation that nothing unclean can enter heaven. Even when our sins are forgiven, the residue of selfishness or attachment to sin, they could still remain. Look, I went to confession last week. I'm in a state of grace. But hey, I've still got attachment to various sins. You know, I can't go to heaven with that attachment to the sins, which I'm not going to tell your viewers what they are, but it's the same thing. Nothing unclean can enter heaven, and so purgatory is the cleanup place. And kids can understand that. Look, if you're a child and you're told today that you have to meet the president or the pope or you're going to attend a big wedding or a birthday party, then you would know that you have to wash your face and comb your hair and maybe change out of your gym clothes. Well, purgatory is the cleanup spot where many people have to go before they get to heaven. Just like we get cleaned up before attending a party, purgatory is the place where souls get cleaned up for the most special party of all, the heavenly banquet with God. And I think that's something that kids can easily understand.
Anthony, and of course, as your books are created and written, these are beautiful books to look at. In fact, me as a grandparent love to get your books because not only do I enjoy reading them and looking at the pages, it just creates these beautiful moments for parents and grandparents to sit with children and read this together. And once again, the illustrations in your new book, All Hallows Eve, are amazing. Tell us about your illustrator.
Sure. Well, I always use an illustrator who I think can perfectly illustrate the book and achieve the mission that we have. And this time I used a man named Erwin Madrid. He's an incredibly talented artist. He's got a long list of accomplishments. In fact, he's worked for DreamWorks Animation in Hollywood and then on the Shrek films on Madagascar. And he's created concept art for some of the biggest video games in the country. And he's done a lot of best-selling books, including two others of mine, A Travel Guide to Heaven for Kids and The Seed Who Was Afraid to Be Planted. Both of those were done by Erwin Madrid. And I wanted Erwin to do All Hallows Eve because he has this incredible gift for balancing realism with the fantastic, with the fantasy. And his artwork captures, you know, both the spooky atmosphere that kids love about Halloween and the reverent beauty of the Catholic teaching of the communion of saints. So he paints darkness and light and colors and shadows in a way that I think children and adults can feel both the gravity of the subject matter and the joy of the gospel message. And I think in this book, he's managed to give, you know, the lead character, Hulda May, as well as the children, as well as the cemetery, as well as all the supernatural scenes of heaven and hell and purgatory, a kind of richness and a depth, as well as a lightheartedness and a playfulness that I think match the tone of the story, or the tone that I was going for anyway.
There is a lightheartedness in these pages, and I can see them as well. Do you think children are going to maybe necessarily be maybe a little scared, or is it meant to be a little thrilling to them to be just a little curious?
Well, I think children have a natural curiosity about big eternal questions like life, death, heaven, and hell. I mean, children, they have to experience grieving. Their pets die. Sometimes their grandparents die. And shielding them completely from those heavy subjects doesn't always help. In fact, it often confuses them and scares them even more. So what matters is, you know, how those realities are presented. And in my book, I'm not afraid to show an image of hell. But it's not meant to terrorize kids. In fact, kids are looking at a lot worse than what's in this book when
Sure.
they look at the movies today and the game. I mean, if you've seen any of those, they're really frightening. This book is nothing mild compared to those. But even the images that are a little thrilling or frightening, I think they're balanced out. They're not gratuitous. And children, I think they will understand that this is all balanced out by the message of the book, which is one of optimism and hopefulness and mercy, God's great mercy. We always have to remember that the greatest Christian storytellers, like C.S. Lewis, J.R. Tolkien, They never shied away from showing that evil is real.
Right.
You know, but they always emphasize that good triumphs. And that's the same for, you know, those great fairy tales. You know, and even those early Walt Disney classic movies like, you know, Snow White. I'm talking about the original one.
Mm-hmm.
As G.K. Chesterton said, the purpose of having dragons is in fairy tales is not to frighten children. It's to show them that dragons can be slayed by virtue, and especially by virtuous girls and boys. That's the spirit of this book. So it won't frighten them too much. I think it will thrill them.
Oh, absolutely. All Hallows Eve is the title. Anthony DiStefano is the author, and he's joining us today. Well, Anthony, just as I said a moment ago, sitting down as a grandparent with my grandchildren reading these books, it is beautiful. And there is still a message for adults. In fact, in your book, there is a kind of a notes for parents that say from the Bible or from the catechism section at the end of the book. Why did you do that?
Right, and a note to mummies and daddies. because I tried to keep it humorous. I included those notes and those sections from the Bible and the Catechism because I want parents to have confidence that what their children are reading is firmly rooted in the Catholic faith. Halloween can be confusing, as we've discussed. So it was important, first of all, to get endorsements from leading cardinals and bishops and clergy. And I put those in the front of the book to show people that, hey, look, this book is endorsed by the church. And I wanted to spell out clearly what the church teaches about purgatory, about praying for the dead, about the communion of saints. But so by adding those scriptural references, the citations from the catechism, you know, I wanted to give families resources that they could use for further discussion. And my hope is that, just like you said, that parents won't just read this book to their children, but they'll talk to them about what it means. They'll answer their questions, and they'll use the Bible and the catechism as references. And that's a powerful way to teach children that, hey, these books, the catechism of the church and the Bible, the Word of God, those things will, that if they're shown those things at the beginning when they're young, 4, 5, 6, 7 years old, they'll always refer back to them even when they're 50, 60, 70, 80, 90 years old.
Well, the name of the book, again, All Hallows Eve, it is one you are definitely going to want to get for your children or for your grandchildren and read year after year. Anthony, it is getting some great reviews and a lot of nods online. Where are people going to be able to find a copy for themselves?
Well, that's a tough one. You know, it was the number three Catholic book in the country, and then Amazon completely sold out. And now Amazon is reporting delivery after Halloween. So the publisher scrambled to make extra printings. You can get it directly from Sophia Institute Press. You can go to EWTN. You can go to the Catholic Company. You can try to find some Catholic and Christian bookstores online, or, you know, just patronize them when you can. So you have to look around right now because they're scarce. It's a good problem to have, but unfortunately, they did sell out before Halloween.
Oh, that's all right. We can keep reading and praying for the holy souls throughout the month of November, and this will just be a great book to follow up with. Anthony, always a great morning when you join us. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you for having me, as always.
Again, Anthony DiStefano's new book is All Hallows Eve, out by Sophia Institute Press. Now, if you want to get a copy for yourself, hopefully you'll be able to go to Sophia Institute Press or one of our great Catholic bookstores. I will be sure to add information that'll get you right to Sophia Institute Press. Hopefully you'll be able to get a copy for yourself, and you'll find that link on the podcast of today's interview at materdeiradio.com and on the Hail Mary Media app.